WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. United Airlines and American Airlines flight attendants are joining forces, may join forces, to get a better contract. Let's bring in Brian Summers this morning for our regular Friday conversation. Brian is aviation business editor for Skift.com and is with us via Skype this morning from Los Angeles. So, Brian, let's start with United and American merger for these two flight attendants unions.
Yeah, the Chicago Business Journal reported this week that flight attendant unions at United and American might merge. I should mention that the head of American's flight attendant union denied that talks were ongoing, but sometimes they do that and talks are still going. You know what? This would make some sense. United's union is bigger, not necessarily because United is bigger, but because that union includes flight attendants at Alaska Airlines and also almost 20 other airlines. Most of them are pretty small, but of course the numbers add up. And then American's union only represents about 27,000 workers at American. Look, pilots are usually the strongest unions at airlines, and I don't expect that will change. You literally can't have an airline without pilots, right? And if they walk off the job, you can't hire enough pilots, you can't train them fast enough. Flight attendants have some leverage, and I don't want to get angry emails here, but I should mention that they are a little bit more replaceable. Another thing is, look, if these unions merge, I don't think passengers would notice a major difference. You know, the biggest thing that customers notice at a union or non-union airline is whether there's a union at all. So people may not realize this, but just about every U.S. airline has a flight attendant union. There's one exception. It's Delta Airlines. Amazingly, Delta flight attendants have repeatedly voted against joining a union, and that's given the airline more flexibility with scheduling and other personnel matters. And frankly, Steve, it may make the service on Delta a little bit better. People may think that JetBlue has been non-union, and that's right, but earlier this year, JetBlue flight attendants said they would unionize, so they're waiting on a first contract there.
So, Brian, from the airline's perspective here, what would be the business implications of these two unions merging together, if any?
Honestly, Steve, I think that they would just be negotiating with different leaders of the union. I don't expect there would be much different. You could argue that the flight attendant union, as bigger, would have more leverage with pay and work rules and things like that. I'm not sure I buy it, but who knows?
Do you get the sense that the flight attendants are not feeling appreciated by these two companies, or is it about something else?
You know, I don't know what it's about, but separately, yes, the answer to your question is flight attendants at a lot of airlines probably don't feel appreciated. Airlines are making a lot of money. They weren't for a while. Now they are. And I think flight attendants and a lot of other workers at these airlines think that they haven't been fairly compensated for the success of these airlines. So the executives have done very well. Shareholders have done pretty well. A lot of airlines do have profit sharing, but I still think that frontline workers believe they should get more, especially since, frankly, they suffered quite a bit earlier in the 2000s.
Brian, let's talk about fuel again. I know we talked last week about how fuel was impacting domestic tickets. Is there any evidence that international flights are being impacted by rising fuel prices?
Yeah, you know, flights everywhere in the world are being affected by rising fuel prices. I don't want to sound like a broken record here if we have people that listen every week, but fuel costs are up something like 36% at most airlines year over year. And when that happens, you have to raise your prices or you will go out of business. It may not be immediate, but I don't know if people know this. Also, Europe has a lot more airlines than in the United States, and with more competitors, fares are lower for the same types of routes. So it's why I looked this morning. You can buy a ticket from Chicago to London Gatwick on Norwegian Air for about $290 round trip if you want to go in February. This dynamic will probably change. One, it has to, as we mentioned, because fuel prices are going up. But two, it's increasingly likely that more European airlines are going to go out of business, perhaps as soon as this winter. And that's going to create some consolidation in Europe that they really haven't seen. We've seen it in the United States, but as a lot of European airline CEOs tell me, there are just too many darn airlines in Europe. Steve, when a European airline goes bust, like, it generally goes away. It goes away the next day or later at night. So then the question is, right, what airlines will go? I don't have a crystal ball, but I can tell you that Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary, he runs Ryanair. He said this week, our focus will be on one of the two major Scandinavian airlines. So he's talking about Norwegian Air. And frankly, if Norwegian Air goes out of business, I'm not sure it will. It may not happen this year. It may never happen. But fares between, say, Chicago and Europe are going to go up. There's just no doubt about it.
You mentioned earlier of pilots having a hard time finding pilots, replacing them quickly, that is. Is there a pilot shortage impacting Europe's airlines as well?
You know, this question is all about semantics. The answer is that there are fewer pilots than I think airlines would like. But some people complain about the word shortage. I don't think there's necessarily a shortage. There are enough pilots to fly these airplanes. It's just that for a long time, airlines had their pick. There were so many pilots, both in Europe and the United States, competing for a few spots. And so airlines really had their pick of who they wanted, and they didn't have to pay them all that much. That dynamic is changing. So both in Europe and the United States, there are enough pilots, but they need to be paid more. They need to have better work rules. They have more leverage. And so I don't see the pilot issue being that big of a deal, but it will change the dynamics of the industry.
Brian, you've also been writing about JetBlue in a battle to sort of keep its dominance in Boston. What's going on with JetBlue?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that JetBlue is necessarily dominant in Boston, although I think that's what the headline of my story says. JetBlue has about 27% share in Boston, so that's more than any other airline. Often, you know, Delta Airlines in Atlanta has about 80% share, and that's how you really dominate an airport. But look, JetBlue is big in Boston. It has a lot of corporate customers. It wants to get people everywhere they want to go. It wants people to join their frequent flyer program. It wants to be in Boston what United and American are in Chicago. So that should all work pretty well. But Delta Airlines, I think we know, is pretty feisty. And Delta Airlines has been expanding in Boston, which is not a traditional Delta Airlines hub. And they're going after some of JetBlue's customers. JetBlue had its earnings call this week, and they said, look, things are fine in Boston. We're still pretty confident. But on some of these leisure routes, say Boston to Las Vegas, we're seeing some softness. There's more competition in the market. And prices are down. So if you're an airline consumer, Boston is not a bad place to be now because you have a battle between two airlines. If you're an airline executive, it probably makes you a little bit nervous. Delta has also been doing something interesting in Boston. They're increasingly flying from Boston to Europe. That's, again, good for Boston customers, but it also makes JetBlue think, you know what, maybe we should fly from Boston to Europe. For now, JetBlue doesn't fly to Europe, but it doesn't want to keep losing these customers to Delta. And I wouldn't be shocked within the next 2 or 3 years if JetBlue announces, hey, you know what, we're going to go from Boston to London, Boston to Paris. They've been teasing that for a long time. They haven't said exactly when they'll make a decision about going to Europe, but it's certainly on the table.
All right, Brian. Good stuff. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Steve.
Ryan Summers is the aviation business editor for Skift.com. That's at Skift on Twitter. Make sure you follow Brian as well at Brian Summers. That's B-R-I-A-N-S-U-M-E-R-S.